Aware, and if you're visiting with us this morning, I am not your pastor, and I am not a pastor. I haven't been to seminary. I have no PhD. I have no long list of credentials. I stand here before you because pastor asked me to. So I'm here to share the word with you this morning. Amen. And truth is, I'm no different than anybody else. I'm a sinner, saved by grace, and I stand here because of that. So, humbled to be talking with you this morning, especially given our audience. We've got any number of people who have a lot of years in the Word, a lot of background, and you want to get it right. Amen. You want to present God's Word with truth and authority. And so we're going to try and do that this morning. But I was thinking, kind of looking into it. Then I was, as part of my study, I ended up in James, and I was in James chapter 3, verse 1, and I saw that those who teach will be judged with greater strictness. I said, "Oh man, pastor, what are you doing to me?" So, you know, speaking is not my my favorite thing to do. Well, I like to talk. I got plenty to say, but not necessarily in front of people a whole lot, you know. So, to get prepped up, I went out and, you know, I checked on some tips for speaking in front of people and some things they say to do. And, you know, they say if you're a little nervous, you want to kind of get through that real quick. And so maybe you can sit there and you can, they say, picture your audience sitting there. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. That's not right. And they said, well, you can, maybe you can stand up high, or you can get some, you know, you get a commanding position, but that's probably not going to work. I said, dress for success, you know, kind of, you want to look your best when you're up there, because you want to kind of remove any distractions. You don't want anything that might take away from the message you're trying to get. So I tried to put on something decent this morning. They say, I heard it said one time, if you don't look so good, if you're kind of ugly, maybe get a nice tie. And I thought, okay, I'll try that. And then this morning I got about three different opinions on which tie I should be wearing, so I'm not sure what that says, you know what, I think probably the best place to start, you know, if at all, you know, that's kind of just all fluff, really, it comes down to when you're prepping, you want to spend some time in the Word, and you want to pray, so maybe we'll start there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's so good to be in your house this morning. Happy to be here with brothers and sisters in Christ. And even now, as we long for the return of our Savior, as we wait for the return of our pastor, pray that your Spirit will be with us as we open your Word and as we study, and as we delve into the way that we can encourage, uplift, support one another. Father, pray that your Word will go forth with great authority and power this morning, not because of who I am or my words, but because of who you are and what you established for the foundations of this very earth that we walk around on. Thank you for this time, Father. Bless it now, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So recently we've been in a number of different studies, Sunday mornings, Wednesday evenings, even Sunday school. We've been in 1 Peter, we've been in 1 Timothy, Galatians, Ephesians, James here and there. And there's a there's been this common theme that I've noticed, but even especially in the last 3 or 4 months, a lot of common themes that I'm seeing throughout these books. Unity, submission, the spoken word, the words that we speak. And I thought it was a good place to maybe focus some time, because these three, they work very tightly together. You can't really have one without the other. You can't have a unity without submission. You can't really have submission without a spirit of unity. The words that you speak, they are definitely going to affect both of those. So let's dive right in and talk a little bit. I'm just going to break these down. I'm going to give you some thoughts. I've poured some time into this, not just recently, but in the past too, and I've tried to put all my thoughts together. Praise the Lord. I hope it's going to come out with some clarity and some a nice flow, but we'll see what goes here. Let's talk about unity a little bit. We're going to start off with unity. If you'd like to, you can turn in your Bibles. I'm going to go to John chapter 17 and talk a little bit about unity. John chapter 17, verses 20 through 22 says, "I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one." One. Unified together. A team. We know all about this. The things that we're going to talk about this morning, there's no great secrets here. You need to have unity of purpose, a common direction and goal. The world knows this. Sunday evenings in the fall, we see football teams come together to compete, and those teams, they have a common purpose and a common goal. They are unified in what they're trying to do. In the micro, getting the ball down the field and scoring. And in the grander scheme of things, in the macro, to win that game, to win that series, to be the champions. They want to do their best. Amen? Well, we need to be unified as well, as brothers and sisters of Christ especially. There's great power in unity and bringing it together. I'm going to give you some verses here, and if you don't have a copy of this, I've put just some of the references that I have here in the back. I know John's going around to pass some of these out right now. I encourage you to take it home and maybe look through those, look up some of those, and maybe spend some time yourself looking through these. I think you'll be amazed at some of the things that you see in there. Romans chapter 12, verses 16 and 18 says, "Be of the same mind one towards another. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." 1 Corinthians 10 tells us that all of you agree, and that there be no divisions among you, that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. 1 Peter 3:8 says, "Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, tender heart, and a humble mind." John 13:34, "Love one another. Love one another. By this, all people will know you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." It's hard to have love for one another if you're not, of the same mind, if you guys aren't going the same direction. Amen? So, in our verse when we first started out in Ephesians 4:11 through 16, it talks about the different talents that God gives us. Amen? Some is apostles. Some is prophets. Some as evangelists and some as pastors. Some as teachers. We've all got different things that we're good at, but we all work from the same common toolbox. Amen? God's given us all some tools to use, and unity, submission, and the spoken word are some of those tools that we all have. Doesn't matter what you're good at or what you're not good at, God gives us these to help. We have a great example of the power of unity. There is tremendous power in unity. You've probably seen a game where maybe sports is a great analogy because you've probably seen a game before where the team was really, everything was clicking. They were working well. They were working the ball together. They were marching down the field. They had a plan and they executed that plan. We've got a great example of this in Genesis, actually. Now, I'm going to tell you that the application there was a little off, but the fact of the matter is that unity can be very, very powerful. In Genesis 11, 4 through 6, it says, this is the story of Babel. Everybody knows the story of Babel? Everybody came together. They had a purpose. They wanted to build a tower. Now, their reason for building the tower was a little off the mark, but hear what it says. "When the Lord came down to see what they were doing, behold, they are all one people, and they all have one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do, and nothing that they purpose to do will be impossible for them." Nothing that they purpose to do will be impossible for them. Now again, their application of that principle was a little off. Because what were they trying to do? They were trying to raise themselves up, huh? Let's raise ourselves up, you know, that we might have a name for ourselves, that we might lift ourselves up. That's not what we want to do, but that doesn't discount the fact that they were unified in their efforts, and even God recognized and stated that nothing that they propose to do will be impossible for them because they have unity of mind and spirit moving in the same direction. Philippians 2, verses 1 through 3 tell us to complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, and being in full accord and of one mind. Full accord and of one mind. What is that mind? Well, hopefully, it's the mind of Christ in us. Now, we can look at a couple of examples of disunity in the Bible. It doesn't just speak about unity. We also see disunity in there. Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19, kind of line out a laundry list of things that it says that not only does God not like, he hates, he abhors. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that are swift running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Out in the world, it's every man for himself in a lot of cases. That ought not be the case with us. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we ought to be unified, together, going in the same direction. Not sowing discord, not trying to create fractions. Matthew 12:25 tells us that every kingdom divided in itself is laid waste, and no city or house divided against itself will stand. That's true in the world. That's true in the church too. So it's good to be of the same purpose. And that unity that we come from, that we are all unified around the cause of Jesus Christ. Amen? So right hand in hand, working with unity, is this idea of submission. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, if you go by the world's definition, submission's a kind of ugly word, a little bit. You know, it can be misconstrued. It can be seen as oppressive. But submission is a beautiful thing in God's context. I went to Google, and I just checked the dictionary definition because I wanted to see what it said. It said, the action or fact of accepting or yielding to a superior force, yielding to the will or authority of another person or entity. Submission. That sounds kind of oppressive, doesn't it? Kind of heavy. But only through submission can you have unity. If I don't submit myself to God's authority, if I don't submit myself to my brothers and sisters in Christ, if I don't submit myself to the church, to God's word, I can't have unity there. It's not going to work. We're going to be going in different directions. So I'm just going to cover a couple of things here. Submit to God. James 4:7 tells us, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit yourself to God. I will admit, this is a tough area for me. I don't like to submit sometimes. Not necessarily just to God, but in general, I like to be in control. I like to drive the ship. I like to make the calls. Sometimes that's not the right call to make. Submit to the church. Submit to the church. What does that mean? Hebrews 13:17 tells us, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that will be of no advantage to you. And then here's a big one. Submit to my brothers and sisters in Christ. What does that mean? Submit to my brothers and sisters in Christ. I mean, the idea of submission here is laying aside my own desires, my own wants and needs, and giving a preference to my brother or sister in Christ. Ephesians 5:1 talks about submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Romans 12 says, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. I like competition. What if we were trying to outdo each other in showing honor to each other? I'll get the door. No, I'll get the door. No, you get. You know, show your brother and sister some love. Romans 14 talks extensively about submitting my liberties for the sake of the weaker brother. We're all different stages in our faith, right? And some of us are very, very grounded in our faith. Some of us are new believers. And some of us are somewhere along the middle in that spectrum. We got to walk carefully. The things I say, the things I do, because I have a little more maybe knowledge, or I've been in the Word a little bit longer, I don't want to do anything that might confuse a brother or sister in Christ, that might cause them disclarity, that might cause them to stumble in some way. 1 Corinthians talks about that explicitly. 1 Corinthians 8:9-12 says, but take care that this right of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. Now here they're talking about in the context of the things that you eat, and you know, there are things that you're not supposed to eat and set aside for certain purposes, but I think the concept here is universal. For if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will he not be encouraged? If his conscience is weak, to eat food offered to idols? And so by your knowledge, this weak person is destroyed, the brother for whom Christ died. Thus, sinning against your brother and wounding their conscience when it is weak, if I do that, sin against Christ. So submission, great power in that. You know, setting aside things. Some things are important, some things are just passing. Let's make some decisions. And if it's not absolutely critical, if there's no harm there, then I ought to make the move to submit for unity's sake to my brother or sister in Christ, to the church, to God's word. So we know what submission is. What's the opposite of submission? Rebellion. An ugly word. Romans 8:7 talks about that rebellion. We talked about how submitting to God is very important. Romans 8:7 talks about that and says, for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. Why? For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And if you want the perfect picture of rebellion, the very first picture of rebellion, Isaiah 14:12-15 paints a picture here for us. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down from the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto the heaven and exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. God cannot accept rebellion, disunity, lack of submission. And he kicks Satan out. That shouldn't be us. Amen? Now, all those are great points, but they work together with the outpouring of our words. Now, unity and submission, real closely tied. You can't have one without the other. But the words that we speak play big time into this. So if you go into your Bible and look around, James, Proverbs, they have tons to say on the spoken word. In fact, I have a Bible here. My grandmother got me, and I had done a study one time and going through Proverbs and looking at it, and I started highlighting everything that said about, you know, the words that you speak, your tongue, your mouth, the words that you say, and it's just full of it, page after page after page after page of words about what you speak, how to speak rightly, how to guard your tongue. Let's just look at a few. For I will speak of the excellent things, and I will open, and the opening of my lips shall be of right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteousness, and there is nothing froward or perverse in them. A man's belly shall be satisfied by the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. You ever heard the term "talk is cheap"? Yeah, I understand that. Talk is cheap because we can easily just let words fly, but the consequences can be very expensive, especially if you let yourself. Man, we got to rein that in, and I am talking to me right here. Rein in those words because, as it says there, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Words will never hurt me. Huh? Well, words may never hurt me, but words have started wars, ended marriages, fractured families, fractured churches. You can't casually throw your words around. And if you're unsure, it's best to what? Zip it.
Amen.
Amen. Huh? Nobody ever got yelled at for saying too little. Huh? I mean, Psalm 34. Who's the person who desires life and loveth length of days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. A good man, Luke 6:4-5. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart speweth forth. Out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. So Matthew talks about this a little bit. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man. It's what comes out of the mouth.
Amen.
And out of the mouth, Matthew, it says, but out of the mouth is what defiles a person. But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. Out of the abundance of the heart. They're not talking about the pump. What's the heart of man? It's your mind, right? It's what God's given us to separate us from every other created creature. The ability to reason, to contemplate, to study and understand His Word, and to act upon it. How are you filling up your heart? Hopefully, you're spending some time in the Word. Amen? But I can promise you, you need to be in control and guarded about what's going in to your heart. The world out there has a different agenda than we have in here. The world out there has a different agenda than our Heavenly Father has. I can promise you, I can spend 5 minutes with any one of you, turn on the tube, listen to the radio, and I can start picking it out. Did you hear what they said right there? Did you hear that reference there? How about this? This agenda, that agenda. All these things that are promoted as great, great advances for society and for our people. they don't line up. And if you're not careful, it's going to impact what comes out. We are all products of the words that we speak, right? We can, and I'm not just talking the words that we speak to each other and to other people. What about the words that you speak to yourself sometimes? Maybe I'm the only one, but I have conversations in my head all the time. I mean, I sit around listening a lot, but I'm rolling around in my head having conversations. I hope those are good words that you've got rolling around in your head in there, and not otherwise. Ephesians 4:29 said, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such that is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." Joshua 1:8 talks about this real well. It talks about, there are certain ways. Back in the days of, Moses especially, and before, there was no, they didn't have books, they didn't have written scripture. How did the word of God get passed around? It was by word of mouth. And how did they remember it? Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do all that is according to that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Meditate on it. What's that mean? If you look at the word, that means to murmur. It kind of talking under your breath, right? It's just a constant thought that's in there. I'm a child of God. God loves me. Christ died for me. We ought to be speaking of the truths of God. Philippians 4:8 says, and so we need to, again, carefully filter what we're letting in. We ought to focus, not just filter, we ought to focus what we're putting into our hearts. Philippians 4:8 says, "Brothers, finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things." Hey, we've all got a bucket full of problems, right? I know we dress it up real nice on Sunday, and we come in here and we put on our happy faces. I know that some of you probably pull in the parking lot. Who knows what's going on in the car? World War III, maybe, but you come in, you dress it up real nice, and you sit down here, and we all high-five and cheer, and life happens, right? But we don't have to dwell on those things. Okay, we got problems. The best thing to do, pray about it, turn it over to God, and keep on marching. Romans 10, verses 8 through 10. This is the most powerful word you can speak. You want to exercise real power? You want to have a real impact in somebody's life? But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Did you know that you had the power to encourage a brother to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? To save somebody from eternal damnation by sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ? Just to kind of focus in on the impact there and how important this is. Let's look at Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 40. Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40. Let me put on my readers here. Matthew 22. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the entire law of the prophets. On those two commandments. Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. It's easy to say. Execution is another thing. Tough. It requires sacrifice sometimes. It requires maybe putting on the back burner my own agenda, my desires, my needs for somebody else. And I can promise you I love myself. You know, so I had to really work hard at loving other people around me. Unity, submission, the spoken word. They're tools that God's given us. Every one of us have them. I can promise you, Pastor let me know a few weeks ago that he was looking to fill the spot and have somebody come up here and talk. And I said, are you sure about that? You got the right guy? He said, yeah. No problem. So I started studying, looking through here, and even as I was going down through, I've got copious notes on all these things that I've taken and gone through. I have blown it on every one of these points multiple times. And I can promise you, I probably blew it on all three of them yesterday alone. But we're works in progress. God's not finished with us yet. Amen? He promises to finish the good work He started in us. We just got to stick with Him. Unity, submission, the spoken word. We are brothers and sisters. We're a family. Families aren't perfect. We get our cages rattled. We get upset with each other. Different viewpoints. You know what? Flush it. Set it aside. Is it really that important? Whatever it is, whatever is really nagging at you, is it really important that I get my point across? Or is it more important that I give deference to my brother or sister in Christ, that I seek peace and unity in all the things that I do, and that I speak God's word, truth? So, there's nothing new here. It's all things we've talked about before. But these work together. You ever heard that Capital One commercial, what's in your wallet? What's in your wallet? Well, what's in your toolkit? Huh? You know? What are you using on a daily basis? I hope and pray that as a body, we're a tight family right now. We want to grow. I hope that we're encouraging one another with the words that we speak, that we are seeking the same direction, that we're setting aside our petty differences, the things that might be holding us back, that we might attain to the high calling of the Lord Jesus Christ. God loves us. He wants the best for us. But He gives you a role to play in it. He gives me a role to play in it. I need to guard my words. Submit to God. Submit to His will in my life. These are things that are tough for me. Submission. Unity. Sometimes I like to go it alone, doggone it. And sometimes you have to, until you can get people, you know, to come along with you. But and the words that you speak. Man, that is a tough one. What does James say? Actually, that is James actually says, let's go back to James 3. Everybody turn to James 3 for me real quick. Spoken word. James 3. And we'll just start right there at the beginning, maybe around 3:1. Let's see here. Book of James, chapter 3. My brethren, let there not be many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation or judgment. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, that same is a perfect man and able to also bridle the whole body. And we could go on. We could spend the rest of the time here in James just kind of looking at it. How we put bits in the mouths of horses so that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also ships, great ships, which though they be so great and are driven by fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whither so the governor asks. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And it just goes on and on from there. You're going to get caught up in your words. And I do it all the time. And I got to seek forgiveness all the time. But even in that, let's give some deference to our brothers and sisters in Christ. If we made a mistake, hey, let's go get it right. Let's go get it sorted out and put it behind us. Amen, so that we move together in the same direction. If we know there's an area here that we're struggling with, get some help. Get in the Bible. Go talk to pastor. Go talk to one of the deacons. They've got lots of knowledge and want to help us in this area. But we need to address it. Don't let it become a wedge between us. People ought to be able to identify us by our love one for another. And these things all play into how we function as a family of Christ. So, hoping that's helpful for you. You know, if you heard anything here this morning that doesn't make sense or, you know, grates against your understanding, you know, give me a pass. Check it out in the Bible. Go talk to pastor. Go talk to somebody else. Maybe I'm off point. But if you do check it out and you actually see that it's in there, you know, then maybe you might want to consider, you know, making a little adjustment here or there if you see that that's a need in your life. I appreciate the time to come up here with you this morning. Next week, Alan Lee is going to be sharing with you on July 4th. I encourage you to come. Alan Lee's got a boatload of knowledge and time in the Word, and I know he's going to share something great with you. And next Sunday is July 4th, where we, as a country, what do we recognize? Our freedom as a nation, our freedom from oppressive powers. How much greater to come next week and learn about the freedom that we've all earned through Jesus Christ, through His sacrifice on the cross. True freedom. Not temporal like this, but freedom for now and in the life after. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You're a good and loving God. Everything that we have is by Your hand, Father. You're righteous. You're holy. You're the author and finisher of our salvation. Father, I pray that even now, as we spend time in Your Word, that it would be a blessing to our body, that it would be glorifying and edifying to You, Father, that it would bring many more to a saving grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for our family here that You've given us, Father. Let us work to encourage, to uplift, to be unified in mind and spirit, Father, for the same thing, the high calling of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, thank You for all these things in His name. Amen.